Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your co-hosts, Liz and Landon.
What's up, everybody?
Today, we will be covering part two of Ryan Larson. I know it's been a while since we've got the opportunity to talk to Ryan, but he's a busy kid. He is someone who enjoys his toys, activities, his daily routines, and we gotta go by his schedule, which is totally fine. But it does take some time to get the details needed with Ryan.
And it's also, you know, good for you to build that rapport with him. Perhaps, you know, he can give you some more information. When you connect more often with them, they tend to give you more information. It's like making a friend.
It's true. He does like his army men, and pulling out army men stuff was a great idea and very helpful. So thanks to Ryan's mom for giving us that suggestion. But also above and beyond that, he likes Buzz Lightyear. And anytime I go into Walmart or a toy store of some sorts, he would often talk about his, you know, space galactic toys and everything that he had. So he shows me that his mom and his sister both spoiled him and he loved his stuff. And that is what he likes to talk about. So if I'm able to give him a little bit on my end, then so be it. He gives me little information, little by little.
Wasn't there like another child that he also connected well with too?
There's actually a few kids that hang out together now. Ryan likes being a superhero. So if I positioned him like a superhero situation, he's going to help because he's a superhero and he's totally down with that. Now, when it comes to Harmony Montgomery, he has a big old soft spot for her. He often takes her hand and tells her he'll protect her because of everything her dad did. I know I've been spending a lot of time communicating with Harmony and Ryan, actually, over the last couple of weeks because of everything that had been going on with Harmony's case. And if you guys don't know what's going on, oh my God, it's traumatizing to the highest degree. I feel sick over the details. And Ryan's been holding her hand through it all. So there's a lot of bonding. So he's very protective of her, which also helps communicating with him yet again.
And for those of you that have yet to hear the first episode of Ryan Larson, his episode is available on the podcast, which is in season 3, and it is episode 9. It's not an exclusive episode, so you all should have access to it.
Absolutely. And it'll give you guys all the details that we had in relation to the case. There are a few things that I did misspeak about just based off of my research, but we're going to start off exactly where Ryan left us off, which was at his abduction.
Absolutely. Now, there are also a couple other details that he does want to give us in relation to the situation at hand, including his interaction with the secretary at school.
We've talked about her a few times in relation to the first episode, but he did want to talk about how this particular secretary made him feel uncomfortable constantly. Like, she just had these angry eyes, he would point out. He shows me she was not the nicest, not the easiest to deal with, pretty lazy. He shows me that there was actually another woman who was a little bit on the younger side. She used to smile at him and he thought she was pretty and nice, and she did not trigger him. And she was also extremely helpful. Now, he shows me that this older secretary did egg him on little by little. And he shows me that before he had left this particular day, she had been a little pissy. And that definitely triggered him a little bit more, which is another reason that he had bolted, because he was already triggered and she was somebody who would not help the situation. She and many other teachers and staff at this school would get extremely triggered by Ryan, and instead of being helpful, they would just trigger him some more.
Now, if you ask somebody like me who has worked with many adults and young teens with disabilities physically and mentally, you know, the staffing can be very difficult in handling kids or adults if they were problematic. Now, instead of making the situation better and trying to, you know, de-escalate the situation, they allow their own emotions to take over. And there is many special needs that I have seen run away because, you know, they were upset and, you know, these situations could have easily been de-escalated if there was just, you know, maybe a little bit more care or empathy involved, especially in the school systems. There is many special needs teachers and aides in the schools, and they don't always get the training that they need to deal with any sort of high level of, you know, special needs that a child may need. I feel like there's something more that needs to happen, not just at home, but also in the schools as well. There is many, many places where kids with special needs and adults that they just don't know how to handle them. They are very mean. And it was no different in Ryan's school either.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Now, I see that all the time with family members. It is truly heartbreaking, like the schools and the home situations. There's nightmares for these kids. Not in Ryan's case, on the side of home. Now, moving right along, he shows me that his home was his sanctuary. It was a place where he could be himself, where people weren't constantly getting upset with him. He never really understood it, actually. Now, he shows me that there were times that he was just being what he considered a normal kid, and they would get angry over little things like him walking around or needing a moment to leave the classroom or just breathe. He says they would often come at him, scolding him, and would often upset him. And that is another reason why they had issues in the first place.
You know, I think that people need to be a little bit more considerate of, you know, people who have an IEP in place, which Ryan did. And they, you know, a lot of teachers and staff like to pinpoint the child or, you know, some sort of special needs person as a problem, especially if they're a runner. There's a bigger reason why these things are happening. It's not every single case, but most special needs case, there's always a reaction and there's always a reason for that reaction. And in Ryan's case, he was upset and he wasn't getting the attention he needed in that moment or the support, and that caused him to react, which was run away.
Absolutely. I definitely don't believe that the school did anything in the sense of like physically abusing him, but he feels as though the school had mentally abused him. He would see the looks that people would give him. He was really good at reading people's energies. And from what he shows me, most of the time it would be irritation, annoyance, you know, and instead of kind of approaching him with kindness, he could feel that energy, you know. He did not handle a hard approach well. He tells me that the other kids would often tease him or, you know, make fun of him and would try to get him in trouble and like tattle on him a little bit extra. These kids would never get calls home. It would always be placed on Ryan's shoulders. And the school, they can say whatever they want. Ryan tells me that it happened day in and day out, and he hated being there.
Now, the last episode, you had mentioned that you were not sure if he had crossed over yet or not. Were you able to get more information this time around about his crossing over or not?
Yes, I was able to figure out that part pretty quickly. From what he shows me, he had honestly zero interest in crossing over, at least until there's justice for him. I don't want anyone to think it's bad, though, because it really isn't. It just means he just wants justice served in some format, even if they don't catch whoever did it. He just wants justice for his family, some sort of peace. From what he shows me, he likes being close to home as well. He likes being in his home environment, spooking and freaking everyone out and letting everyone know he's still there and that he's, you know, hanging out. He is still not quite crossed over, and you know what? That's okay. He's content and he's happy with it. He has no interest in going in that direction just at this point, but he will.
I think that's, you know, I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. They, as soon as you say like, oh, the person is not ready to cross over, they immediately think it's because like it's something bad, and it's not. Like spirits, especially like this case, Ryan, in any sort of like kidnapping or something, there's unsettled business. They're unhappy and that, you know, like he needs justice. in order to feel at peace to cross over and rest his soul peacefully, you know?
Absolutely. And you know what? Like, he's hanging out with his family, so it's like he's okay with that, so.
Well, all right. Now you were able to kind of retrace Ryan's steps a little bit more. So where does this take us now?
So I had to show him a map, and obviously on the map, he's not going to take roads. So I tried to get him to like pinpoint as much as he could. From what it looks like, the school is on Terry Drive. And I believe that Terry Drive is a one-way because of the school being there. He was only approximately, let's say, 3 minutes from the school driving-wise, but about 11 minutes walk-wise. He shows me he took his normal route, which was turning left on South 81 Street. From what I can see, he made a right onto Parkview Boulevard. Now, originally, I had seen a park, but I'm also sensing that the word park was what he was trying to say was the street name, right? And I had originally thought La Vista City Park, but I'm feeling as though it's closer to the Wilderwood Park area because he shows me that he had passed his home to go to the park because he wasn't ready to go home yet. I remember him telling me that he had a hiding spot, so perhaps there was a big hill or, I don't know, something that he could go up top of and then go behind. And he hid there until he had started feeling hungry.
Now, how long do you think he was there?
He tells me he heard police, he heard fire trucks, he heard a bunch of different things in his mind, busy streets. I'd say a good 60 minutes. That's when he got hungry and wanted to play with his own stuff. He had cooled down and he thought to go home, which is what he shows me he tried to do.
Okay, now you mentioned that he had injured himself in the last episode. Did he mention anything else in relation to that injury?
He shows me he was running away to hide behind this particular hill that he was on, and he did hurt his ankle because he was running too quickly. There might have been a soft spot or a little divot. He slightly hurt his ankle. It wasn't anything severe.
So what happened next?
He shows me that when things started to get silent, he didn't hear the cops anymore. Now, this is what I get from my own visions. I don't believe there's particular vehicles that were looking for him, but he wanted to go home to find his neighbor. I'm not sure if his neighbor works from home or not, but if he was home early, I think it was like a safety protocol for mom when he was not home. Like, he shows me that he would go there, you know. Sadly, no one was available for him, which is why he decided to wait in the complex. Now, he had told me about a cop previously, which he said was part of his, like, trustworthy group. But I'm also being told that he had seen this guy. It was not a cop, maybe a fireman, somebody who had some sort of position of, you know, helping people. And he felt like he could trust him because I guess he was trying to find mom. So he saw like a uniform and was like, hey, you know, maybe he can help me. But I don't see that Ryan was totally verbal to this person. If anything, he was just trying to get his assistance to help him or call for his mom. But I'm really not exactly sure what happened there. He just kind of shows me an interaction with somebody in a uniform, and the person in the uniform wasn't really understanding what he was saying, and that was the end of that conversation.
Ryan mentioned that he had got injured behind a rock with a tree branch. Was there anything that he mentioned more about that injury?
Poor little guy. He was trying to make some sort of concoction for him to hide underneath. He had items maybe like, I don't know, a toy. I don't know if it was a toy from school or if it was something he had in his own. He had something in his hands. He was trying to hide it so that, you know, wouldn't be taken from him. And yeah, he injured himself again. And it looks like it might have been like a cut. But this was before he had moved on to the resident side of it.
Now, do you know what this toy was or what it looked like or anything?
Hard to express. It's like a robot, but it looks like it could have been made out of Lego. I'm not entirely sure. He keeps showing me this robot had like something in his hand, like maybe a weapon.
Like maybe a transformer or something?
Oh, you know, very possible. The color scheme seems a little different than what I would envision Optimus Prime to look like, but it is possible. It was possibly another Transformer I just don't recognize.
Well, he also mentioned that he had seen a stranger along his journey. Did he mention anything else about that this time?
Yeah, actually, this particular stranger he was referring to was somebody kind of walking by on the streets. He had never seen him before because this man was heading in the same direction as him. I think Ryan started to panic and he continued to go home really quickly because he was afraid that this person was going to hurt him, ironically enough. But I don't feel like this guy was the person who did anything, just a random stranger, which makes me believe, like, if you could run away from someone that wasn't even interacting with him, he had to have known this person that took him, you know?
I agree with that, absolutely, because a lot of these types of people don't go with just anybody. Now, I wonder why the stranger, you know, didn't come forward and say that he had, you know, at least seen the kid. It might have been a little bit more helpful to get a sense of direction to where Ryan had gone. Also, you know, I have a feeling that the family does know this person. Not that they know what he's done or anything in the past. They just have a feeling that they know him.
Okay. Yes. No, that totally makes sense. And I get it now. The reference from Ryan in relation to the police officer was that when he was hearing the sirens, he was envisioning himself going up to like a fireman or a policeman and saying, "Hey, can you help me find my mom?" But he never got to that point. Makes sense now. Anyway, he stands by his comment about not leaving his umbrella near the garbage. He tells me that was definitely planted there. He says it was the most disgusting smell and he did not want to be anywhere near that garbage.
I hear you, Ryan. I wouldn't want to go near there either. Now, you also mentioned that this person definitely knew Ryan previously and that he would not go up to strangers. You also mentioned that this person had given him like a pack of cards. Now, did he tell you what kind of cards they were? Like magic cards, baseball cards, hockey cards? What kind of cards were they?
Ironically enough, I thought that they were more like baseball cards or Pokemon, but I don't even feel like they were. I'm thinking they may have been what you had suggested in the previous episode, magic cards. I don't necessarily think he played the game. He really didn't understand the concept of the game, although he was extremely smart, but I do see he had some intrigue. Not necessarily, you know, hard enough to pay attention to what was going on, right? It was kind of like a mirage for him. He shows me that this guy had said, "Hey, get in my car. We're going to go get your mom." Obviously, that was like giving Ryan a sense of relief. Ryan jumped into his vehicle with no hesitation because this guy distracted him with these cards. Ryan shows me that on this regular day, if this guy just so happened to do this, he probably wouldn't even have gotten into his car, no matter what he told him. But he mentioned that this guy wanted to also give him something to eat. And that was like a green flag for Ryan, like, "Hey, I'm hungry." He was very interested in eating, and he shows me that they had a conversation about going to KFC or McDonald's or somewhere else. So that is why he decided more than anything else to actually get in the vehicle.
Yeah, I mentioned magic cards when we did the episode last time for sure. That is a huge thing, that in Pokemon with this type of community, specifically the kids.
Gotcha. You know, it's funny enough that the only reason I found out about magic cards is because we had gotten our daughter some magic cards for Christmas this year, and he was incredibly intrigued by them because of the rarity, but also noted to me that this was what the man had had. So I documented it and, you know, obviously sharing it with you guys today.
Now, was, you know, Ryan able to give any sort of description on who this guy is, what he looks like? I know he had given a couple of details in the previous episode, but maybe he elaborated a little bit more this time.
From the sounds of it, this person knew his mom, his neighbor, and a few others as well. He could potentially be someone that either used to live in the building or just kind of hanging around. There is a connection to the neighborhood. So perhaps a person that knew the neighbor a little better than he knew Ryan or Ryan's mom. From what I gather, this guy went down a really bad path. Ryan shows me that there was something about a kicked out situation. I'm not sure if he's referencing the park, his home, or like just in general, maybe a job. He also shows me that this man had a distinctive mustache. He was also pretty tall. He keeps showing me that this guy was very weird, even when he had initially met him. He said that he had always had an interest in Ryan. He also shows me that this man knew Ryan had gone missing. He was also given a heads up. So somebody may have said, hey, if you see Ryan, let him know, you know, mom's looking for him. Because this person acted based upon Ryan's disappearance and genuinely took advantage of the moment. Ryan shows me that this was obviously the worst decision of his life and that this man was a very bad man.
I bet it was very hard for him to, you know, go through this and relive this again.
It truly is. Now, he shows me that while he has a lot of triggered moments, he does check out. So a lot of the details of what happened to him from the time he was abducted until his passing, he's checked out and, in a sense, closed his eyes and didn't look at the guy, gave him no attention, and that kind of thing is basically what happened until his last breath.
So this guy was not a current tenant of his apartment complex, but it is possible that he lived there previously at some point, so he maybe have met Ryan at that point before he moved out. Now, is there any sort of name that Ryan maybe knows from him?
He spelled out Dan over and over again. Later on came the IEL, so perhaps Daniel, but I also keep hearing Dad. I don't think it's his biological father. Perhaps maybe this guy was a dad. Anytime I talk to Ryan about this guy, he starts excessively nodding back and forth. So I have to take my time with communicating about this, and I don't have all the details. But that's why I came forward today, to give us as much as we've gotten so far. And, you know, hoping that it is helpful in finding who did this to him.
Now, in the last episode, you also mentioned that this person did not hurt Ryan on their own. Now, has Ryan elaborated at all on this?
Yeah, he has. He shows me that he was definitely a pedophile. He shows me that there were a lot of photos of little boys. They were mostly posed in underwear. He was not about that life or interested in any of that. But the man had told him that he had to do stuff if he wanted food. Now, from what Ryan shows me, he was extremely stubborn. This guy had a vision in his mind, and this poor kid would just, you know, do what he wanted him to do to obtain food. But Ryan shows me that he had not had any interest in working for food and shows me that he did not feed him often because of it.
Now, you also mentioned that he had to go to the hospital, but this person did not take him.
I know, and I can tell you that Ryan was not behaving for his liking. And in fact, Ryan just shows me that this guy didn't hurt him. You know, he was without medication. He was without assistance. He was anxiety ridden and panicked and starving. And poor kid was just under a lot of stress and he had a seizure. And instead of taking him to the hospital, I see that Ryan just basically died. And this guy had no interest in, you know, outing himself for the situation, so he just let him die.
Sick fucking bastard. Now, how long did this guy have Ryan in his possession before Ryan ended up having this seizure and passing away?
I originally thought it was a couple of days, maybe 9. I keep seeing the number 9. It was not very long. You know, Ryan shows me that this man had left him in the basement for a period of time. Ryan had never been in this guy's home before, and from the looks of it, this man had put either bars or something like bars that kind of blackened out the light. From what I gather, this person was there, you know, at the search and rescue for Ryan, just to see if he could get any inside information. He was very interested in the case itself, and still sometimes, you know, does see people talking about Ryan and may ask about it, you know, just as an innocent bystander. He even left Ryan to go to this search. Like, what the hell? I feel like he even communicated with Ryan's mom and his neighbor, even his sister, and it's gut-wrenching. Even other friends and family members as well. But Ryan says that he was there because the man had told him he had seen his mom and that if he was a good boy and behaved, he would take him to his mom, but no real plan to do so. Ryan also was not stupid. Ryan knew that this guy had no intention of helping him because he lied to him already a few times, and this man did not really understand how to handle Ryan and what it was all about.
And that's very common. People who usually do stuff are always involved in the case all the time. Now, also was mentioned in the last episode, there was something about this guy working something to do or connected with some sort of ice cream truck or something.
Ryan had mentioned something in relation to ice cream, but from what I gather, from what Ryan had showed me, was more like a casino. He worked or some sort of hospitality environment. But Ryan shows me that the ice cream truck is what may have been, you know, passing by. There might have been an ice cream truck in the direction of where this guy lives. I gather it's approximately 10 to 15 minutes from where he picked him up.
Now, has this guy ever been arrested since we last talked about or communicated about this episode at all?
No, but his minor sex registry is still obviously listed as such.
Which, you know, when you're on the sex registry, you're there for life. That doesn't go away. Now, last time you mentioned that Ryan felt like everyone was mad at him. Does he still feel like everyone's mad at him?
No, he feels a lot better. I see that he's been truly happy with what people have done for him, including strangers. He doesn't even know so many people out there thinking about him. He doesn't have any feelings of anger. He likes all the pictures that are displayed everywhere, including around his hometown.
Now, Ryan mentioned that this kidnapper had a really nice car and potentially tinted windows with leather seats. Does he still say that now?
So speaking to Ryan a little bit more, he had mentioned that the car was tall. So I'm going to assume maybe an SUV or a van or a minivan. I don't necessarily feel like it's got leather seats, but maybe it just didn't have cushioned seats. I don't know. I'm thinking it's a booster seat he was sitting on. So totally different than what he had originally showed me. He shows me that the color was white, but a lot of, like, you know, other colors in it. He sat in the back and waited for this guy to come. This guy actually tried to buckle him into this booster seat, but he did not allow him to do so.
I mean, could the color have been potentially, you know, rust or something like that? And Ryan just doesn't know that it was rust.
Definitely could be. He shows me that there were colors of brown all over it, so it's very possible. Which makes sense considering his occupation. Doesn't seem like he'd be making a lot of money.
You also mentioned that when they had gotten some food that he didn't like the food, and we'll call this guy Dan, bought him.
From what Ryan shows me, he was a pretty picky eater, and this guy bought him food that had like a lot of sauce on it, or other things that he didn't eat. For instance, I think there was a pizza involved where he put like every topping possible on it, and Ryan was disgusted by it, which I totally understand. He and I have talked about pizza quite often in the past and what should or should not be on a pizza, and he does not like a lot of sauce, and neither the hell do I. I don't like a crowded pizza. Anyway, yeah, that's what he shows me. He was pissed about the pizza.
Is there anything else that you or Ryan would like to discuss in this case?
I did want to mention that I had seen that the judge had dismissed the lawsuit brought by Ryan's mom against La Vista School District, but it was dismissed completely, and that breaks my heart, and I feel as though there's not enough evidence, but I can tell you this. This school will have something karmic happen to them, and also something else I think will happen court-related at some point. These people will lose another child or something else will happen. There is definitely something seriously messed up in this school system where a child can just walk out of school and nobody is held accountable. They can sit there and blame Ryan all they want, but there's something more disturbing going on in that school and that system. And these kids need to be protected. It could have easily been anyone's kid. As a parent, we need to stand up together and fight with Ryan's mom against it. And if you've had any issues with this particular school district, please bring them forward because this is going to keep happening. And that scares me today.
Absolutely. Speak up. You know that saying, speak or forever hold your peace.
right?
Basically. Now, next week we will be doing Gabby Petito. I know a lot of you have been dying for this episode. This case has definitely been something that, you know, we have had thousands and thousands of requests for this case. So we are
Since we started.
So we're going to be doing that. Gabby's, you know, reached out to Liz more lately. So we're going to give it a go and hear what she has to say. This case will be on the exclusive side. So you do have to be a patron to access this episode. And that will only be available on Podbean. And we're looking forward to hearing it because it's going to be intense.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, guys, stay freaked out.